So who of you was yesterday in the talk about Prabhupada in Venezuela? Okay. Alright. You want me to continue on that? Okay, here's the book, by the way. Can't see the picture. In Spanish, that hopefully this year will be in English too. Prabhupada's only visit to South America, and many wonderful things happen in that short visit. He stayed 1 week in Cancun, Caracas. And yesterday we were talking how the movement started there, how the monks, you know, opened the first temple. And I explained how Prabhupada arrived there the first day. And how he was crying in front of Vitis Bhagavatai. I was crying. He was trying to chant a song. As soon as he said the first two words, his voice shot, he couldn't sing anymore. So he was crying. It was a very wonderful experience. So, actually, Prabhupada arrived in February 18, 1975, which was, by the way, the appearance day of Advaita Charya that day. And as I told you, many devotees came from all over Latin America, from Brazil, Argentina, Chile, Puerto Rico, Santo Domingo, so many places, Mexico. And the monks came from Mexico too. Actually, Prabhupada was coming from Mexico. He visited first Mexico for 1 week. There, Prabhupada used to go every day to the park in Mexico. Big park, there is the park Chapultepec. It has lakes and swans, big, huge trees. So, you know, when Prabhupada used to travel, he would not use a normal toothbrush. He would use it. When he was in India, he would use neem tree. But in the West, since the neem tree wasn't available there, he would use eucalyptus tree. So while walking in the park in Mexico, Prabhupada saw an eucalyptus tree. So he told Hridayananda Maharaj, I would like to have that branch up there. It was high. So, Hridayananda Maharaj took us to Mexico, the devotees, and told them, well, Prabhupada wants that branch, what are you going to do about it? They look at each other. So they decided to make a human firing. Have you seen that sport? In India, they have that sport in Gujarat. Even in Europe, in Spain and other places, they have sports, they have competition and everything. Who makes the tallest, the highest human pyramid? On each other's shoulders, and they go up. So this is the ones, of course, who are not professionals. They may have seen it in the TV or something. So they try to do that to get the branch for Prabhupada. Yeah. So they were trying. And they fell 2 times, 2, 3 times, you know. And finally, like after 4 or 5 attempts, they grabbed one of the devotees grabbed the branch, and they fell by the branch in their hand, you know. So he could take the branch to Prabhupada. Prabhupada examined the branch and he said, useless. But he was pleased about it. Try, you know. Mexico, the day Prabhupada arrived, many people, you know, attended the temple, and like more than 100 people, more. Even after the lecture and kirtan and everything, people would not leave. And they were shouting, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was in his room upstairs, and he asked, what do you want? What do you want from me? And what do they want from me, Prabhupada? They want your blessings. They want to come in front of you and you give your blessings. Prabhupada, okay, let them come. So they made a big line. One of them told them you have to make a line, not everybody rushing. Make one line. And the line was so long that outside the temple, like 4 or 5 blocks up to the metro station, the line of people were lining up to get Prabhupada's blessing. And they would come in front of Prabhupada, they would bow their head like that, and Prabhupada, Krishna may bless you. And then we go like that. The temple president at that time was Prabhupada visited twice Mexico, 72 and also 74. So at that time Prabhupada visited different places like Cuernavaca. He had a program there, and he had a TV program, very famous program. The devotee told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, would you like to go on TV? But it is midnight. Prabhupada said, how many people see this show? The devotee said, millions of people. Oh, we must go immediately. So Prabhupada went there, midnight program, 1 hour interview. Very good questions. He was very impressed. People were calling, asking questions. Very nice program. Prabhupada liked it very much. And in Cuernavaca, one devotee asked Prabhupada, the mosquitoes are biting me like anything. They are not disturbing you, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, no, not at all. Ah, that's because maybe you are pure devotee, they don't disturb you. Prabhupada said, that may be, but in Calcutta they don't make such distinction. Anyway, so so in Venezuela, and in that first night, I told the devotees yesterday how Prabhupada arrived at night. The temple was on a hill. So one devotee from the roof of the temple, he will be watching to see if the car was coming. And as soon as he saw the car coming, he started to blow the conch and the loud, and so everybody became very ecstatic, jumping, dancing, kirtan. And when Prabhupada arrived, everybody is excited and nervous and running here and there. The flowers, the garlands, all the devotees throwing flowers over Prabhupada, petals from the roof. It was a wonderful experience. And as I told you, Prabhupada said, after he came back to spend our consciousness after crying and love for going to die, Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya is very merciful, because if you would have come to kill demons like Lord Krishna did, in Kali Yuga, practically speaking, nobody would be left. But he came to kill the evil mentality of the people by the Harinam Sankirtan, distributing the holy name. So Prabhupada told us, now you are very fortunate and you must make others fortunate. Share the mercy. Don't keep it for yourself. So then the next day, Prabhupada wanted to go to a park for a walk for a morning walk. So they decided to take him to a garden next to the university, and the botanical garden was the name of the place. And there were many exotic plants from different parts of the world, even from India, lotuses, and you know, and very, very nice. And Papa enjoyed the walk there. But in one section of the walk, they had to walk too close from the highway. So the sound and the noise from the cars were a little disturbing. And while they were walking, one man on a motorcycle, he saw the bodies, he saw Prabhupada and dressed in orange, so he shouted, "Oh, these demons!" So Prabhupada asked what to call, he didn't know Spanish, so he asked what he said. So one of the devotees had told him, Prabhupada said, no, he made a mistake. The demons are on the other part, the other side of the fence, not this side. They are on the other side. Prabhupada said, we stopped him and asked him, where are you going so fast? If you ask any of those driving a car, we will stop them and ask them, where are you going so fast? Well, I have to earn money, I have to do so many things. And what for? Just to enjoy life. What about death and old age and disease? Prabhupada said, because on both sides they were running very fast, you know, the highway, different directions. So Prabhupada said, why you don't tell them, those who have to do duties the other side, they should do exchange duties with the other ones, right? So they don't have to run so much oppositely. Stay where you are, do the duty of the other one. Prabhupada used to criticize modern civilization. People have to, you know, ride in a train or a car for 2 or 3 hours to go to work, you know. That's a new thing. Anyway, so after that day, the devotees decided to take Prabhupada another bigger park, not so much noise. So that night, Prabhupada, some professors came to talk to me, a group of professors. And they were mathematicians. They were having long conversation with Prabhupada, asking many questions, very challenging questions sometimes, and Prabhupada defeat all their arguments with logic and common sense, you know. And at the end the professor said, actually I have seen you in London and Paris, and I've noticed that your devotees, they look very, very satisfied. I can see their face, the faces, they are feeling happy, satisfied. Prabhupada said, you are very intelligent. Prabhupada said, there is a process. Once a priest asked me, how is that your disciple, they look so effulgent, so alive? And Prabhupada said, there is a process. You don't follow these four principles and chant the names of the Lord, they get the spiritual energy. There is a process to get this. So they got the prasad, and one preparation was yogurt. And then this professor liked it very much, the yogurt. He said, look, this yogurt is so good, you must, you know, put an etiquette and sell it. You must, you know, make a business, it's so good. You may call it Hare Krishna yogurt. Prabhupada said, hey, why not? That's what people will chant Hare Krishna. It's not a bad idea. So because the conversation was long, Prabhupada didn't give lectures at night. Prabhupada in Venezuela did something peculiar. He will give Bhagavatam class in the evening. And in the morning, somebody else will give Bhagavad Gita, either the temple president or some sannyasis. So we changed the program like that. Because more people will come in the evening, and he liked to talk from the Bhagavatam, first canto. And in that part, Prabhupada would walk around 1 hour from 6 to 7, every morning. I remember I told you the story of the lawyer. Who remembers the story of the lawyer? Bolivar. I forgot to tell you his name. His name was Bolivar. And he was very fat, so we called him El Gordo Bolivar. He's fat Bolivar. So what happened, I told you yesterday about where there was a riot in the temple, no? So he came next day to the temple with the newspaper in hand. He was, you know, he was very disturbed that they did this to the devotees, you know? So he came and wanted to speak with the temple president. So when we hear that there was a lawyer coming to see the temple, so maybe this is more profit from the government or something. But what was our surprise that he came to offer his service for free, without any charge, wanted to help the devotees. And he helped a lot, actually. He became our legal advisor. So when Prabhupada came to Venezuela, he would go every morning to walk with Prabhupada and ask him very good questions. Prabhupada enjoyed his question. So, one of the questions he asked Prabhupada in one morning walk was that in Latin America we see that the cultures have some similarities to the Vedic culture in India. How is that possible? The lawyer asked. Why is this like that? And Prabhupada said, originally all the planet was following the Vedic culture, but in due time they stopped doing it. But there's still something left. Prabhupada told us that actually Lord Ramchandra went to Brazil, South America, through a tunnel from Sri Lanka. That's in the Ramayana, actually. Of course, the name Brazil wasn't there at that time. It didn't exist in England. It says that before the fight, while Ram and Lakshmana were sleeping, and Hanuman made a fortress with a stele around it to protect them, but from underneath, this demon, Ravana's brother, named Mahiravana, came and kidnapped them while sleeping, and took them through this tunnel 8,000 miles from Sri Lanka to the other side of the world, the Ramayana says. And Prabhupada, looking at the map, he made a straight line from Sri Lanka and landed in Brazil, in Amazon. So Prabhupada said, that place must be Brazil, where Ramachandra went. So the idea of the demons Prabhupada told us was to sacrifice Lord Ram in front of Goddess Kali. They were worshipping Kali, big king, you know, big goddess. So they asked him to bow down. And Lord Ram told them, I'm a prince, you have to show me how to do this. I have no idea how to do this bowing down. So all of the demons bowed down, and Lord Ram took the sword and chopped off their heads. Hanuman was hiding behind, he was following the Lord, you know, and he also chopped a few heads too. So, anyway, one Brazilian devotee told me that the original name of the country before the Spanish or the Portuguese were there, the original name was Pindorama. So the name Rama was there. Ancient. And also, I found out that we have an ISKCON farm in the Amazon in Brazil, And nearby the farm, there is a very ancient town called Ham. Interesting, no? And it's like 2,000 years old name, you know, they have for this town. How they knew about Ham? You'll not believe it, but even in Mexico also, they found in a cave a sculpture on the wall, 2,000 years old or more. And the sculpture, you will see a big mountain in the middle, and a big snake around the mountain, and one group of people pulling one side, one people pulling the other side. And there is water between the mountain, like waves, you know. The sculpture, it's a very ancient sculpture. I've seen photos of it. So how can they know about this journey of the ocean? So everything was connected, you know. Anciently, all the world was following this living culture. Some or other thing, you know, in the passing of time. The Buddhist took me to some museum there in Mexico City, and there are pyramids in the middle of the museum, many other things. And one thing brought my attention was a small statue like that. And it was a monkey with folded hand like that, with a crown on his head and a big tail. I said, "Oh, this is an animal." So, I know the Buddha told me that in Mexico, every year they have a religious procession, and they take a saint. I'm trying to remember the name of the saint, the name they give to the saint. But the saint, if you look at it, you know, is on his knees, and with his hand holding something up in the air like that, like a lava gopal, you know. Looks like a lava gopal, I've seen the picture. So, and in Venezuela, the Amazon too, there is a mountain called Meru. You know, Meru is the celestial mountain from the Bible. And there is a waterfall called Kama Meru. And they write Kama with king. This is Sanskrit names. Somewhere other, you know, you don't know from where they got all these names. So, anyway, Prabhupada told us that story in the park. And while walking, one lady told Prabhupada, "Buenos dias, señor." Prabhupada asked what that means. And on the body told Prabhupada, "That means good morning, sir." "Oh, okay." And after like a few minutes, other group of people were coming, you know, and Prabhupada told them, "Here is Spanish, buenos dias." They are, "Oh, buenos dias." Probably that he learned the language, you know. Immediately he got it. And then while walking, Prabhupada heard that some birds crying, you know. And so Prabhupada said, "Why are they angry?" "Oh, Prabhupada, they are in cages." "Oh, only birds?" "No, no, there is all. Full zoo there." "Oh, let's go and see." So we went to Prabhupada, he was watching the zoo. And then finally he came to a pond with crocodiles. So he stopped to see the crocodiles. So two crocodiles were swimming, and one crocodile was like a statue on the sand, not moving like that. So the pond was, you have to look down, you know, to see the crocodiles, you know. There's a fence around it, but not to look down there. So Prabhupada was looking at the crocodile, and one of the crocodile took his head out of the water and opened his mouth big like that. And Prabhupada talked to the crocodile. He told him,
Ah, you have very good argument to catch. You have very good argument to catch, but not opportunity. And Prabhupada looked at us smiling. He said, he's inviting us. One of you may come here. Prabhupada said, he's male. I don't know how Prabhupada came to know that it wasn't male. Just by looking at it. Anyway, Krokodai rolled his mouth and opened it again back. And Prabhupada said, no food. It's a video actually. There is a video of that Prabhupada visit to Venezuela, and that scene is there about the crocodile is there. In the last video that Yadubar Prabhu did is there. I think in the seventh month, I think it's there. He just did it chronologically. So after a while, we continue our walk, and Prabhupada wanted to get one road, you know. But the problem was, ahead there was a sprinkle, and was waiting also the road, not only the grass, but also waiting the road. So the devotees were worried that the sprinkle may wet Prabhupada's clothes. So two brahmacharis ran and tried to find a way to turn off the sprinkle. There was no way to do it. No key or anything to do it. So they grabbed the sprinkle around themselves and they all went wet while Prabhupada was passing through. So Prabhupada was looking, you know, and they were smiling. And Prabhupada quoted the verse from Bhagavad Gita that with sacrifice rain comes and rain comes to the grains, you know. That's the verse from Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said that because they don't want to do sacrifice, which is Harinam Sankirtan, this age, this is the Yagya, Sankirtan Yagya. They don't want to do Yagya, they have to use this imperfect sprinkles, you know. Because they're putting not only the grass, the road, but there is no need of water. So, anyway, then we returned to the temple with Prabhupada after 1 hour walk. And Prabhupada greeted the deities, and he went to his room. Somebody was giving the Bhagavad Gita lecture, morning lecture. And then in the evening, some other group came to see Prabhupada, yoga group, some yoga society, Hatha Yoga. They came to talk with Prabhupada. A very lively conversation. Prabhupada asked them about their philosophy, what was their philosophy. The professor was explaining to Prabhupada what was his Hare Krishna. What helped the Mataji with the confidence? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, I was telling you that so Prabhupada asked this professor, this yoga professor, what is the difference between matter and spirit? And the man said, well, spirit is eternal and matter is temporal. And Prabhupada said, that's the correct understanding. And Prabhupada asked him, what is your conception of God? The man says, God can't have form or name because that's a limitation. If he's unlimited, he can't be limited by what's an impersonalist. So Prabhupada didn't argue much with him about it, just asked him, do you believe that God created this world, this material world? The man said, yes. So Prabhupada told him, with our tiny brain, we can create, you know, big airplanes, 747 for 500 passengers, and maybe we have manufactured 100 to 100 of those airplanes with our tiny brain. But God, with his unlimited brain, he created millions of and millions of planets floating in space with big mountains and oceans and living entities, and then so with our limited brain we create limited things, and God with his unlimited brain we create unlimited. Do you accept that? He asked them. The man was a little doubtful. He said, do you mean that God has a brain? And Prabhupada said, yes, thank you very much.
But he agreed. Brain is a person.
A person. So there, Prabhupada gave him different arguments. He gave him the example of the sun. To understand the Absolute Truth has three aspects. Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavad. Prabhupada gave the example that you see the sunshine entering your room, you analyze the particles of the sunlight. Have you seen sunlight in the room? They have some very tiny particle floating, isn't it? In the rays. You know, one of those very, very tiny particles, the Bhagavatam explained, these are six atoms together. One of those very, very tiny particles. You can't see it unless it's there in the sunlight. So Prabhupada explained the student, they study the sunlight, but more advanced student, they go out of the house and they see that the light is everywhere. Not only everywhere, but also they feel it on their head. The heat is felt on the head, so it's also localized. Although it's everywhere, but it's also localized. The same way, although this Brahman is all pervading, but Paramatma is localized in the heart of every living entity, in every atom. And if you want to know from where all this coming, you just look at the sky, you see the sun, everything is coming. So that's Bhagavad. So anyway, Prabhupada gave him very nice examples. And when we're talking to him, another group came, that is the Metaphysical Society. The Metaphysical Society is one famous lady, she wrote many books. Her name is Connie Mendes. She is very known in Latin America. She wrote many books about metaphysics. So she came with her followers, and she sat down in a room for her, and she sat down. She was listening. So this man became so impressed, so influenced by Prabhupada's teachings that then he asked, oh Master, can you please tell me how can I lead a spiritual life while I am, you know, entangled in war, the job and family and all this? How can I have a spiritual life? And Prabhupada liked the question, he smiled and he said, well, you do as the devotees here are doing, chant Hare Krishna. And this lady, metaphysical lady, she argued with Prabhupada. She said, to me it seems that this chanting Hare Krishna is some kind like hypnotism. Like in some tribes in Africa, they sing different things and they enter in some kind of hypnotic state like that. Prabhupada said, well, that's your opinion, but you are not an authority. And Prabhupada said, the authority is Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that my devotees are always chanting my glories. What is that verse? Do you remember? Satatam kirtayantumam. We are always chanting my glories. And this day they argued that, well, in the Western world, the authorities Saint Germain. Have you heard about this philosopher, Saint Germain? He's a French guy, mental speculator. Anyway, she said that according to this Saint Germain, we should chant the name of God, I am. Prabhupada said, that's not the name. Jehovah is a name, Allah is a name, you know, but Krishna is a name, but I am is not the name. She said, yes, yes, I am this, I am God. Prabhupada said, no, you are not God. And she said, well, in the Bible, when Moses asked God that if I go to rescue the Jews from Egypt, they may ask me, who sent you, what should I say? And supposedly in the Bible, God said, tell them that I am who I am. And Prabhupada said, anybody knows the Bible here? Is it correct what he's saying? And Sutakriti said, Prabhupada said, they said, yes, Prabhupada, I read, say something like that. Prabhupada said, that's all right. God can say I am. You can say I am. And both I am are the same. A master may say I am, and a servant may say I am. Both I am are not the same. They're not at the same level. But this lady said, no, in essence, we are all the same. Prabhupada said, essence means spirit. Yes. God is a spirit, we are a spirit too, but God is the supreme spirit. And we are the tiny spirit. In the Bible itself, it is said that God said, let there be creation, and immediately the creation happened. But if you are hungry and you say, let there be chapatis, no chapati will come. You have to work hard, you have to sweat to get the chapati. So that's the difference between you and God. But the lady is still arguing. But we are evolving, Swamiji. One day we will become God. Prabhupada said there is no such evolution. The part is eternally the part, and the all is eternally the all. And she said, well, we are not in the all. Prabhupada said, you are already in the all. But you are a particle of all. It's like a small particle of a machine. You may say it's one of the machine, but the particle is not the whole machine. So that will probably convince her. And finally she agreed, all right, we have parts of the Supreme. Small part. Very good, Prabhupada said. He told me that you can be prasad now for everyone. Anyway, so after that, Papa went and gave a lecture to us, a Bhagavatam lecture. He read from the first verse. You know that verse? Very nice verse. The first verse from the Bhagavatam. Yamadhyasya tuparatikam paschakasuvayasuvatini brahmanidayadikamayam yantiyasuvayam. Very nice verse from the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada gave a wonderful lecture about how should one be inquisitive to know the origin of everything. That the child asked the father, Father, why is this, why is that? Why the sky is blue, why the birds are flying. This reminds me, this year I was in Dubai, giving a lecture there. The devotees there, every Friday, they rent a hall and they come like 500-600 devotees come for a program. Like from 10 to 1, 3 hours programs. Kirtan, nice. So one lady there asked me, why Krishna is blackish? Why somebody asked Prabhupada that? Why Krishna is blue? Prabhupada said, I don't know, ask him. So anyway, this lady asked me why Krishna was blackish, and I told her, that is not like the black of this world, you know. Krishna is different. It's not material black. It's completely transcendental. And it's not black, it's blackish. But there is one pastime to explain why Krishna is like that. So, the pastime is, when I hear this, the pastime is that one night, full moon night, the moon was very beautiful, golden, and at the feet of Govardhan Hill, Radha and Krishna were sitting in the throne, and the gopis were dressing and decorating them very beautiful, very nicely. And after they finished decorating them, they brought a big mirror, so they would see how beautifully well they're dressed and decorated. And when seeing each other in the mirror, Radharani jokingly told Krishna, "Krishna, I am more beautiful than you. You are dark like the night, but I am fair like the moon." And Krishna said, "Yes, that's true. But what is the beauty of the moon without the darkness of the night?" That's very clever. So, anyway, in that lecture, Prabhupada said that somebody may give you gold and tell you, "This is gold, accept." You may accept immediately and get the gold, but somebody else may say, "No, no, I can't accept. I have to take to the laboratory and test the gold to see if it is gold. Then I accept." Okay, that person also reached the same conclusion, but will take more time. Will take him more time to come to that understanding. What time Dalaka is open? Any questions or comments? Yes?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Huh? 8:30 is the art. Yeah, okay. 8:30 we can start for the art. All right. Any questions or comments? Yes, Dr. Rishi.
Is there footage of Prabhupada? You mentioned Prabhupada gave an interview at midnight in Mexico.
Yes.
Is there footage of that?
I don't know. Maybe the TV station may have it. I don't think that the devotees have it. Yeah, we should try to get to find it. He's from Mexico, so he's interested. About any other questions? Yes, Krishna Bhagavan.
You're saying that the cultures were connected.
Yes.
The old ancient cultures. And we can see the connection, like in Mexico, you see pyramids that look just like the temples in South India.
Yes, true.
Things like that. But we don't see a lot of that in North America. Any connection was just what happened since the...
Well, you would be interested to know that one tribe in North America, what is the name of this tribe? Sioux? What is the name of it?
Sioux.
What is the name? How do you pronounce it?
Sioux. S-I-O-U-X.
Yes, Sioux. They said that there are four ages, and the buffalo represent these four ages. And each age represents one good quality. And in this age, the present age, the buffalo is standing on one leg on. So that's from the Bhagavad, you know. And they said that hundreds of years ago. So they have something. We may not see, you know, they were not too much into construction or anything like that. There is a theory that this demon Mayadanava visited, you know, all these places. He was an architect, so he taught them how to construct buildings and all these things. Mm-hmm. Even the Mayan, they have a calendar, it's a lunar calendar. And they knew so many things about cosmology and all these amazing things. thing is that people, they can regain again their origin, spiritual origin. All living entities are spirit souls, so it's natural for them. Krishna consciousness, Vedic culture is something natural. They just have forgotten. This reminds me, some time ago I was in Spain and these devotees from Manipur came with their troupe. Mm-hmm. Very nice, you know, performance, you know, very cultural performance. And they took part in a cultural program. So different groups from Europe and also from Spain itself, they were taking part in the cultural program. I was amazed to see one Spanish group, they were dancing, and part of their dancing was they had this cartas, some kind of cartas, and they were dancing, they reclined the cartas like that and would go around, and they would then change the cartas for sticks, and they would, you know, like the Gujaratis do, you know. Very similar, you know, very similar like that. So I was going to tell you, I was telling you about this human pyramid. No? So in Spain it's very popular sport, this human pyramid. So they wanted to know from where this sport came originally. And they found out that it came from Gujarat, India. So they invited the Gujaratis to come to Spain to have a competition with them. So the TV, you know, was filming everything and very nice and everything. So the TV was interviewing the Gujaratis and they asked one of them, can you please tell us from where the sport came, you know, climbing on each other, human pyramid. And the Gujarati said, well, this comes from Krishna's pastimes. Krishna used to climb on the shoulder of his friend to steal the yogurt and the butter. So this sport came from. So everything is connected to Krishna by like that. Yes.
And related to that, first Rathi Achakar was made out of gopis.
Yes.
There's a
diorama. There's a painting, I've seen the painting.
There's a diorama in a temple in Jagannapur.
Oh, yeah.
It shows all the gopis that built like a pyramid. You know, the gopis, they hold on to each other's feet, they make the axle, and then the wheels are.
Yeah.
Everybody's all, and the whole thing rolls.
I've seen the painting, very interesting. So anyway, so I told them, I addressed the audience in that cultural program, and I told them that actually the dances they have in Spain, many of the dances and music they have, this was brought by the gypsies who came from India. Traveling, they came and they brought all this music, you know. They love chanting like Bengalis, you know. You know, very, very emotional, you know, singing and all these things. And I told them all this is coming from India. So we are all brothers, we are, you know, culture is coming, everything from the same place. And, you know, we should understand that and, you know, and be more united and have God in the center and God is one also like that, so they appreciated that. And it's a fact, actually, you know, Prabhupada said the only thing lacking in this world is Krishna consciousness. You can use everything for Krishna service, culture, music, dance, art, you know, science, everything can be used for Krishna service. Can uplift people's spirit. That's the whole idea. To have people remember Krishna. Some, like 50 or less years ago, in India, every aspect of drama and dance and was anything related to Krishna and his incarnations, practically speaking. But now things are changing. Is it? Even village people who couldn't read or write, they will see the drama of Ramayana, Mahabharata, and, you know, remember all this naturally, very naturally. but the modern world is becoming more and more materialistic, so that's the problem. So we have to try to maintain our own spiritual life and try to share it with others too. So tomorrow we can continue with this pastime of Prabhupada in Latin America and South America. Tomorrow's Friday, isn't it? And we will end up on Monday, but on Tuesday we will start another seminar about Gaura Lila. Do you all like that? So, of course, there's many. I'm not telling everything. I'm keeping the best for the last for the. So, I hope you will be able to come, hear more pastimes of Prabhupada, South America. Very, very not much known pastimes. First time published. Those, any of you speak Spanish? Raise your hand so I can. All right, all of you. Okay. All right.
Is
that
written in Spanish or English?
This book is in Spanish, but if Krishna so desire, I'm planning to publish in English this year, the same book. So in a few months. Yes.
Will you come back
when you look at it? Oh, definitely, yes. Sure. Okay. All right. We can finish here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. More prema.